And as Raleigh mentioned, the website is a wonderful tool for outreach, because we can use that if people, you know, when you're talking to people about your church and where you attend, it's a great way to introduce them to who we are by just referring them to it. So I would encourage you to do that. But as Raleigh also mentioned, today marks the conclusion of our sermon series on our church's new vision statement, which we adopted as a congregation last year. Pastor Jill and myself felt that it was important that we spend the 6 weeks of the Easter season unpacking the meaning and the implications of our vision statement, so that as a church body, as a church family, we could both understand and own that vision statement for ourselves, both individually and corporately together. The wonderful image of our vision statement that Pastor Jill introduced to us when we began the sermon series is up on the screen there. Of course, the fig tree taken from Jesus' parable of the fig tree and found in Luke 13. And you remember the first couple of weeks we talked about what it meant to, and the first part of our vision statement, encountering a living God, encountering a living God. And the part of the fig tree you don't see, of course, are the roots. The roots are what bring nourishment to the tree. And we said that it is through our, primarily through our corporate worship together, that we encounter God together as a body of Christ, and that nourishes us. And then the other part of the tree that we see there, of course, are the leaves, and that speaks of shade and comfort. And that spoke to the second part of our vision statement, creating a loving community, you know, the respite and the care that we have as we come to know one another and care for one another within the body of Christ. And that is the second part of our vision statement. First, we encounter a living God. Secondly, we're to be about creating a loving community. But the third part is, of course, the fruit of the fig tree. And, of course, in Jesus' parable in Luke 13, the fig tree is not bearing any fruit, and it is threatened to be cut down by the owner of the vineyard. And so the one taking care of the vineyard says, let me fertilize it, let me work on it, let's see if it can bear fruit, because a tree in its very nature, a fig tree, needs to be bearing fruit. And for us, of course, that means participating in a compelling mission, that we are to be reaching out and serving the larger neighborhood, community, city, and the world. You know, one of my favorite popular Christian authors is a fellow many of you are familiar with and read many of his books, Philip Yancey. Yancey wrote a book about 15 years ago entitled Church, Why Bother? It's a pretty provocative title. And it's the story of Philip's own pilgrimage away from and then back to full participation in a local church. Philip Yancey knows well why people leave the local church. Many of the reasons that they speak about for which they leave the church are the same ones that kept him away from attending and participating in a church for a number of years. But something changed for Yancey. He never left his faith, his relationship with Christ, but he did leave the church for a while. But something changed within him as he wrestled with the question, why bother with church? And this is what he said. He said he came to see that the key to finding the right church laid within himself. It involved his way of seeing. He learned that he needed to look up to God in worship. He learned that he needed to look around to how he could love people that are sometimes challenging to love. And then thirdly, he learned that he needed to look out and begin to actively serve those who were not a part of his local church. Well, when I read that, I'm not kidding you. I've had this book for a number of years, and I never had read it. But when I read it and found out that he had actually, validated our mission statement, up, worship, around, love within the community, and out into the world in outreach. Oh, man, I was so excited, because Philip Yancey, yeah, you and me, we're right there together. That's great. And he concludes that part of his book by writing this: "Nowadays, despite my checkered church-going past, I could hardly imagine life without church. When my wife and I moved to another state, finding a church was one of our most important priorities. If we missed a Sunday, we felt a void. We felt a void." You know, it was our brother Klein Snodgrass who shared a witness with us during the Lenten season a few months ago. And part of what he said was that at the heart of the gospel is participation. Do you remember that? At the heart of the gospel is participation. In the sacrament of Holy Communion, we participate in the death and resurrection of Christ, experiencing and proclaiming the salvation of Christ as an act of worship. And then in our fellowship, whether it be in small groups or at church potlucks or getting our hands dirty together on a church work day, we are participating in forging a loving community among us. And we participate in a compelling mission by actively serving others who are not yet a part of our church community. By actively serving others who are not a part of this church body. It was Anglican Archbishop William Temple who famously said, "The church is the only cooperative society in the entire world that exists for the benefit of its non-members." We exist for the benefit of those who are not yet members of us. And so this last Sunday of the Easter season, in Ascension Sunday, the Sunday when we celebrate the ascension of Jesus into heaven some 40 days after the resurrection, we read from this morning's Acts text and are reminded that if Jesus does not ascend into the heavens, the Holy Spirit does not come down, because that's what follows, right? Jesus is taken up into the heavens, and he told his followers right before he was taken up that that was necessary for God to pour out his Holy Spirit. And he told them, now, you go wait in Jerusalem until that happens. But once it happens, you're to go to Jerusalem, you're to go to Judea, you're to go to Samaria, you're to go to the uttermost parts of the earth, to all those who don't know, all those who are on the outside, all those who need to know the love and the care of Christ, and tell them the good news of God's love in me. God's plan is that the Holy Spirit would then come down to animate us as Jesus' followers with the very life-giving Spirit of Christ, and so enabling and empowering these disciples and each one of us to carry out Christ's mission in the world. So what the Ascension does, which is what we mark on the last Sunday of the Easter season, what it does is it allows God to release the Spirit of Christ more broadly throughout the world through the Holy Spirit's presence in each one of Christ's followers. God's plan all along was for us, the followers of Christ, to participate in the mission of reaching, to participate in the mission of loving, to participate in the mission of healing a lost, broken, and fallen humanity with the good news of the gospel. We are God's partners in mission. And as Klein reminded us so eloquently that day, it's all about participation. So hardwired into the church's spiritual DNA is outreach. Once again, you see this in Jesus' last words to his disciples, right? Acts 1:8, these are the last words that he said. And it's really important to pay attention to last words. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you," Acts 1, verse 8, "and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, evangelist Luis Palau talks about this compelling nature of the church's mission to reach out in a somewhat earthy metaphor. A gentleman farmer, Dallas Burright, will really appreciate this morning. Luis Palau says the church is like manure. Pile it together, and it stinks up the neighborhood. But you spread it out, and it enriches the world, right? Yeah, manure just kept together, oh my gosh, but a church that only cares about itself, a church that only cares about its own members, the people who are a part of it now, will stink up the neighborhood, Palau says. But a church that cares about its neighborhood, a church that cares about its community, a church that cares about its city, a church that cares about the world will enrich and bring blessing to others and bring glory to God. I think that's worth an amen, right? Let me quote Philip Yancey again from his little book, Church, Why Bother? He writes, "I have come to believe that outreach may be the most important factor in a church's success or failure." That outreach may be the most important factor in a church's success or failure. And this neighborhood, the Edgebrook community, the city of Chicago, the schools we attend, the places we work, the neighborhoods where we all live, they all need people, individuals, you and me, who will bring the love of God in Christ, the healing power of God's grace and undeserved favor, and the hope that we have in Jesus. This week, our world once again witnessed two more tragedies, two more atrocities inflicted by the hands of terrorists. Just this past Friday, 29 Coptic Christians from Minya, Egypt, several of them young people, children, were killed in an attack by the Islamic State as they traveled by bus to serve in a monastery. And of course, earlier this week, on Monday, a suicide bomber in Manchester, England, murdered 22 innocent victims, many of them children and young people. Currently, many more remain in the hospital, some in critical condition, including, at the last time I read, 5 children. Now, one of the ways that people on social media tried to cope with the Manchester tragedy was to send around, interestingly enough, a picture of Mr. Rogers. Yes, that Mr. Rogers of Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. It included a quote he repeated often in an interview throughout his career. Now, as many of you may know, Fred Rogers was a Christian. He was an ordained Presbyterian minister. However, when he was ordained, he made it very clear that he was not interested in preaching. And so when he was ordained, the Presbytery of Pittsburgh that ordained him charged him specifically to continue his ministry on children's television. Fred Rogers' quote that was sent around after the Manchester bombings was this: "When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.'" Now, a writer for Entertainment Weekly saw that post on social media, and it prompted him to share a story, his own personal story, about a chance encounter that he had with Mr. Rogers, which aired on Friday evening on the PBS NewsHour.